afternoon. Today it is February 16th at 3:30 p.m. This is the Senate Education Committee. Present today is Senator Stevens, Senator Giesel, Senator Gardner, Senator Huggins, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. Today we're hearing the introduction of the bill, SB 174, Regulation of Firearms and Knives by the University of Alaska, and this is going to the sponsor, Senator Pete Kelly, who is here today to introduce the bill and testify. We're going to go for about an hour today. As we mentioned, we have other meetings in this room. This bill will be held over and open up for public testimony, which will also occur on Thursday. And so with that, if Senator Kelly can introduce himself for the record and begin testimony, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you I'm offering it because of a disturbing increase in the United States in mass shootings and gun laws that exist in certain places. They're, I guess we would call them gun-free zones, are making many of our public institutions soft targets for people with serious mental problems and jihadists. And what we have seen in places like Virginia and Northern Illinois and California is a result, in many cases, of where shooters have actually chosen those areas because they know the people in those areas do not have guns because they've been prohibited from having guns. Almost all of the mass shootings that have taken place have been at places where there are gun-free zones. Not all of them, but almost all. We've seen the absurdity in some of our regulations where Marines can't carry guns. If you remember the Marine recruiting station, what an embarrassment for our country that our Marines that took Iwo Jima couldn't defend themselves in an American city because they had been disarmed. Our campuses, well-meaning Board of Regents, well-meaning, they thought they were doing the right thing, have made our campus, campuses from the University of Alaska, gun-free zones. Thank goodness nothing has happened to this point, but what we have seen is, as I said, the shooters are targeting these kinds of places. And Alaskans are responsible. We have a gun culture up here. Go to the shooting range anytime and you'll see people of all ages and both sexes enjoying the shooting sports. People are comfortable with guns. But besides that, they have a constitutional right to carry, should they choose to. It exists, obviously, in our national constitution and is restated in our state constitution, that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It says that the legislature, Joe, am I right, is that the legislature can regulate the...
It reserves. For the record, my name is Joe Burns, staff to Senator P. Kelly. It says, the Constitution says that, that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of the state.
And what we have is the Board of Regents, which is a political subdivision of the state, has infringed on the right to keep and bear arms. Now, I think that because of their duty, I think it falls under the larger subheading of in loco parenti, that they do have some duty to act in a security measure to protect the students who come to the University of Alaska. We have allowed for some regulation in the bill that they can regulate the use of the possession of firearms in certain circumstances and beyond certain points. But in general, we don't want them putting up a piece of paper in normal public access areas telling Alaskans that they can't carry. For two reasons. The main reason being that the bad guys don't care about little pieces of paper. As I said, they've targeted him. Interesting thing, too, you know, the theater shooting, I think they call him the Batman shooter. I believe there were 7 or 8 theaters in that community. There were theaters that actually allowed concealed carry. He chose the one that did not. I never knew that. That's a recent bit of information that I wasn't aware of. So, Mr. Chairman, I present this bill for you. It is fairly simple. There seems to be more controversy swirling around this than I would have expected or that I think is warranted. The people of Alaska have said over and over that they want to be able to carry weapons concealed. They have a right to do that. And by allowing the University of Alaska to prohibit that, we are actually putting them in danger. And the proof of this is in the pudding. The proof of it comes from the fact that these mass shootings are happening in just these exact kind of gun-free zones. So it's a protection, a bill to protect the people of the state of Alaska. There's 150 campuses in the United States that allow for concealed carry. There has not been a single incident associated with the ability to carry concealed at those campuses, either for actual assault or suicide. And I will just, that's about the bill, and I would just encourage you to deliberate it, and I would appreciate a positive treatment of this bill and move it on to another committee.
Thank you. Are there questions for Senator Kelly at this time? I would imagine that Joe is going to walk us through the sections of the bill. Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one quick question. I think Senator Cogdill had a similar bill. Is it similar, the same, or was there any differences?
It's similar. Some of the changes that were made to that bill through the process, if you looked at that bill, you would see those changes incorporated. Most of those do not exist in our bill. Those changes being, Joe, do you have the list of those? I think we actually have a list of those things.
Thank you.
And if we don't, we'll provide it to the committee.
We're open for questions from the committee for the senator at this point.
We are open for questions for the senator at this point. If there's none at this point, then I would ask Joe to go ahead and walk us through the sections of the bill. And please, once again, identify yourself for the record and begin that walkthrough.
Once again, for the record, my name is Joe Burns, staff to Senator Pete Kelly. Section 1 adds a findings and intent language to uncodified law, stating that the legislature finds that the Board of Regents may not abridge the individual right to keep and bear arms constitutionally protected under Article 1, Section 19 of the Alaska Constitution, and that the legislature reserves to the state the authority to regulate firearms. Section 2 adds a new section into the University of Alaska Community College statutes that makes explicit that the authority to regulate firearms and knives is reserved to the state and that, except as provided by statute, the Board of Regents may not regulate firearms and knives. The bill does allow the Board of Regents to adopt and enforce policies regulating the open carry of firearms and knives, restricting the discharge of firearms on land where there is a reasonable likelihood people, animals, or property will be in jeopardy, and the possession of firearms or knives in posted restricted access areas, defined as an area beyond a secure point where visitors are screened and doesn't include common areas of ingress and egress open to the public. This language mirrors the municipal regulation of firearms and knives statutes found in Title 29, Chapter 35, Section 145 of the Alaska Statutes. The bill also prohibits the university from creating a database or registry of persons who possess a firearm on campus. And the bill contains a civil liability immunity section that states the university is immune from civil liability for any act or omission resulting from a policy or regulation adopted or enforced under this section of law. And then Section 3, starting at the bottom of page 2 and continuing on to page 3, adds a 30-day transition period for the university to adopt conforming policies following the effective date of the bill.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you explain the immunity clause, what that does, and if the university is immune, who is not immune to lawsuits, I assume?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. I have a legal memo from Legal Services that goes into a little more detail onto this, and I can provide it to the committee. But from what we understand, this would help prevent the university being open to frivolous lawsuits for conforming to Alaska statutes. So for enacting policies that are conforming to Alaska statutes.
Follow-up, Senator?
Well, I guess I don't really understand. Let's say there was a shooting on a campus. Students were killed. There was no guard there. I assume the university would be sued by the parents of the killed students. You can say that the university is immune, but they're really not, are they? I mean, wouldn't they be sued? And wouldn't they have some liability if students were killed at, say a concert?
If I could say, Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens, I don't think that would change anything in current law, because if there was a shooting at this point and they had the signs up, it's not going to protect them from immunity either. It is an immunity that I'm not sure it's related specifically to concealed carry or not. The best we can do at this point is probably give you this legal opinion that we have.
And through the chair, Senator Stevens, maybe Legal Services might be the best one to walk through the technicalities of this section. We can request to have them available.
Is there anyone here today from Legal Services? Okay. So if you can do that, that'd be good, yeah. Just a quick question. This deals with concealed carry. What about open carry?
We currently are able to regulate that. This bill does not take away their ability to regulate open carry and discharge of firearms on campus and those kinds of things.
So if the bill passes as is, folks can have concealed carry, but they don't necessarily are going to be allowed to have open carry. That would be a decision made by the regents.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, this bill says that the university may adopt policies that would restrict the open carrying of firearms and knives. So it doesn't explicitly say that they must regulate the open carrying of firearms and knives, but it the only thing it makes explicit is they must not adopt policies that would restrict the concealed carry, the legal concealed carry of firearms and knives.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Garter?
Thank you. Can you just walk me through the current process for getting a concealed carry permit?
I can provide more specifics to the committee. This is a concealed carry permit, and just to be clear, a concealed carry permit would not be required under the current version of the bill to conceal carry on campus, but concealed carry permits are offered by the Department of Public Safety. There is a fee that you must pay. You have to undergo training in order to. You have to go undergo mandated training that's so many hours long. You have to provide fingerprints, allow yourself to be given a background check, and if you qualify under that criteria, the Department of Public Safety will issue you a concealed carry permit.
Senator.
Thank you. So when, if ever, is a concealed carry permit required, or can anybody just carry concealed and not have a permit?
Anyone can carry concealed. You have to be, if you're going to get a permit, and there are some advantages to having a permit, excuse me, through the chair, you have to go through this process, and you have to be 21 years old or older. 21 years is the big break point on that, is that anyone can carry 18 and older in the state of Alaska currently. To get a concealed carry permit, you have to be 21.
You don't need a permit to carry a concealed gun in Alaska. You can get a permit if you wish.
Thank you. So why would anyone get a permit?
Because they can. One of the things that can aid them in getting a background check done more quickly if they purchase firearms.
There may be some reciprocal agreements with other states that they would see that training and that permitting process. They would then allow that individual to potentially carry that gun in other states. But in the state of Alaska, this I'm not sure when that bill was passed. It was years ago.
Eric Croft passed it probably in 2003.
Right. At that stage of the game, you can carry concealed carry without a permit, state of Alaska. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think the other part of having a concealed carry is the NICS check, right, serves as your background verification for firearms purchases.
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, the question. So I have my handy-dandy pre-64 Model 73 LSX. It's September. I'm a moose hunter, and I'm a student at UAM. And I have my handy-dandy Model 70 in the back of, in the trunk of my car. What happens to me now? Number one, the car scenario. The other one is I live in dorm Alpha in room 203, and I have my handy-dandy Model 70, and I want to take it into my room. But what's the university say I have to do with my handy-dandy rifle?
Currently.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins. Forgive me, I'm not as familiar with all the models of firearms that you you spoke to, but I'm going to – okay, so they're rifles. Under current university policy, you can see we provided that in your packets. It's in the regulations. That would have to be locked inside your vehicle if it's going to be on campus. All the campuses do provide locked storage presently for weapons and firearms. You just have to register it through the appropriate campus facilities. Does that answer your question?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think it might be valuable for this committee to look into some of the regulations the university has suggested for concealed carry in dorms. I think they make a pretty good case on that, and we could probably provide some language if the committee was interested.
Senators, questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I guess this isn't exactly about the bill, but about concealed carry generally. Are there limitations on concealed carry other than federal property and K-12 schools, preschools?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner. Also inside our packet, some information from the Department of Public Safety. Currently under state law, there's just a few facilities in the state of Alaska that by statute you are not allowed to carry a weapon, and you can, by carrying a weapon on those premises, you can get weapons misconduct. And those areas are a person's home without their specific knowledge and permission, in a place where intoxicating liquor is sold for on-site consumption except a restaurant, and the person does not consume alcoholic beverages, so you cannot consume alcohol and carry a weapon at the same time. In or around public or private K-12 schools or on a school bus without the knowledge and consent of the school's administrator, in or around a child care facility, though the weapon may be unloaded and locked in the trunk of a car or secured in a locked container. You also cannot carry a weapon onto an Alaska courthouse, into a courtroom, or an office of the court system or justice-related entities. And you cannot carry a weapon into a domestic violence or sexual assault shelter.
Senator.
Thank you. I asked that question kind of badly. Are there any limitations based on the characteristics of the individual if they've had, for example, domestic violence conviction or... they've expressed, made threats or something like that?
Those happen often in the court case itself. Usually, if you have been convicted of a domestic violence felony, then you don't have access to a firearm.
Okay.
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, you would fail the background check that's mandated by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Just a correction. It's not that you don't have access to it. You don't have legal access to it.
So if there's a person who's been charged multiple times with domestic violence but never convicted, they could conceal carry.
Senator, I would say I don't think so, and the reason I don't think so is that, once again, they won't get past the background check.
We may want to check the conviction, though. If an individual is not found guilty, we may want to check that. I think just by being arrested and not being found guilty is be a different story.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Senator Kelly, when I look at bills, the question I ask is, why do we need this? Okay, so you've talked about theater shootings, you've talked about Marines in a recruiting center. What compels you, and of course we talked about the constitutional right, other than those factors, what compels you to offer this?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, Senator Giesel, I think those are fairly compelling reasons anyway. But the fact is we don't hear a lot about shooter situations that are stopped by people with concealed carry. It happens. They don't get reported. For whatever reason, I'm not going to impute motives into the press, but they don't get reported. Essentially, there is truth in this statement. Bad guys with guns are stopped by good guys with guns. And if the university has made it so all the good guys with guns, all the good guys can't have guns, they are then at the mercy of the people, the bad guys with the guns. So it has to do with the fact that there is evidence and a history of active shooter situations being stopped by people with carried, either with concealed carry or just happen to have a gun with them. And it's somewhat intuitive that as we get to a time in our country's history where these shootings are becoming more prevalent, you can see certain patterns. They're targeting the places that are saying you can't carry a gun here because they know the people that it's an easy place where there will be little or no resistance. Virginia Tech, 32 people killed. Umpqua State College, 10 people killed. Northern Illinois, 10 people killed. Sandy Hook, I think that was in the 20s. The theater shooting, there were 6 people there. So since 1958, Joe, check me on the statistic here. I think all but 2 of the mass shooting, the public mass shootings, have been in areas where firearms were restricted.
Senator Giesel.
So my compelling interest in this bill are the crimes that haven't been prevented because concealed carry was not allowed. And I think about college campuses, our university system, and the number of young women who are assaulted. And there was a recent number, apparently, that had come forward, and their complaints were not followed up upon. We can't possibly provide adequate security to protect all those young women that live on campuses. And so a gun is a great equalizer. A weaker person, typically a woman, with a weapon, can defend herself. Do you have any data on that type of issue?
Do not, Senator.
Senator Giesel, through the chair, we do have some data that points to that when a person that's going to be victimized has a weapon, that the outcome of that situation is improved by them having a weapon and taking retaliatory measures. And I can provide a study that was completed in the early 2000s that speaks to that to the committee if they'd like. But to something that someone who was involved in law enforcement told me before is that law enforcement comes after the fact. And if we're waiting for people to come after the fact, then you've already have a victim there. If you person that can carry a weapon can prevent themselves from being a victim, I think that right should be given to them.
So we'll ask we're going to be asking some folks online here, but it's somewhat counterintuitive some of the discussion. So there's currently guns allowed on campus under specific circumstances, and there has how many shootings have there been reported on campus?
University of Alaska.
Yes.
Senator Dunleavy, I think that would be a question best posed to the University of Alaska system, but we have provided some data on the crime statistics for each of the campuses. I don't know if that particular question is referenced specifically, but we can get back to you on that if you'd like.
So just to be clear, so the public is clear too, guns are allowed on campus under specific circumstances. They can be locked in your cars. There's lock boxes at the universities in specific spots. And, of course, because Alaska is a place that people go hunting and they can lock their guns there. But conversely speaking, if you have a gun locked in your car and you want to access that gun to do harm, you open up your trunk and you go do harm. And I'm just wondering, I haven't heard a lot of that happening. And there's a lot of gun shows in Alaska, as there is over the country. I would be interested in seeing the statistics, because you would tend to think the more guns you have, the more violence you would have. And in a lot of these gun shows, I haven't heard of a lot of violence. So really what we're talking about in this bill is not guns on campus, but the ability to carry concealed carry. And really it's in classrooms, in the dorm, lunchroom. And right now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not a criminal offense. It's not criminal. You're not criminalized if you carry a gun on campus. But what are the what from your perspective? And we'll go to some of the other testifiers here in a moment. What are some of the penalties, though, if you're a student on campus, you have a gun on you in a classroom, a professor sees that you have a gun, or an official sees that you have a gun? What could possibly occur? Because there's no criminal penalties.
There are penalties within the school. Go ahead.
Senator Dunleavy, according to the region's policy, persons who violate the policy are subject to administrative sanctions. I've been told that if the university saw someone with a weapon that was not a university student or a faculty member, they would ask that person to leave, and if they did not leave, they would trespass that person. I think it's worth noting that persons that choose to conceal carry tend to be very law-abiding citizens, and regardless of the constitutional nature of the region's policy, it still has the effect of disarming law-abiding citizens by its simple existence. So
just one last question on this. If you're a young person or a student on campus, your gun inadvertently, somebody sees it in your bag, a professor. Can the professor then demand that you, and I don't know the answer to this, I really don't, can the professor demand that you are out of the class? I mean, is that part of the penalty concept we're talking about, that you could be kicked out of the class?
That's where you are trespass.
The university might be able to help us with that.
Yeah.
So there's no criminalization. You can have guns on campus now under specific circumstances. This would be concealed carry, which would be pretty much in line with much of the concealed carry that we have in the state of Alaska now. Is that?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, it goes a little bit to the question you're asking right now. What happened at Umpqua in Oregon? The Supreme Court of Oregon had determined that they could carry on that campus. However, the student handbook said you couldn't. So the Board of Regents had ignored the law of the land. The shooting happened, and the people that were on campus had already made up their mind, because there were no guns to intervene, had already made up their mind that, well, they didn't want the university sanctions. They were just trying to go to school. They want to get their degree. They don't want to be barred from, attending college. They didn't carry because the student handbook said they couldn't, even though the courts in Oregon had said that was in fact a right that they were entitled to.
So, and I'll just ask one last one and turn it back over before we go to some other testifiers, but anecdotally, feedback that I've gotten from folks is that there are folks that carry concealed on campus without permission. I mean, they're running a risk. I'm going to be interested to hear what that risk would be. But from at least one student that spoke to me recently, their concern was if they did carry and the gun was discovered, do they have to worry about the stuff outside the door, as well as what could happen inside the university in terms of sanctions being put on them, possibly being kicked out of a class, possibly losing a scholarship, that sort of thing. So that was one of the concerns that was relayed to me. But we're going to keep going through this and getting some more information. So before I go to other testifiers, do we have questions from the committee? Senator
Gardner.
Thank you. It's not actually a question, but there was a question about what the need might be. And the university has, I guess we got this from the university, for each campus a list of, for a three-year period, the number of offenses people were charged with. And I'd be happy to share this with committee members. The Anchorage campus, I guess not surprisingly, looks like the one with the most problems, but it's mostly liquor law violations. A little bit of drug abuse, but there have been some sex offenses, almost all of them in the dorms. But the other campuses are kind of zero straight across for most offenses. Would you like copies?
I'm not sure if you, we have something in our...
Yeah, I'm not sure where things came from. They look like these. Oh, that might be roughly the same. That's UAF only. This is all the campuses.
Senator Gardner, through the chair, we provided all the campuses. They're all in the same document, document.
Okay. I'm sort of drowning in documents.
So questions from senators before we go to folks to testify? Senator Giesel?
Thank you. Senator Kelly, I'm looking at page 2 of the bill, lines 5 and 6. It says basically the regents may adopt and enforce policies regulating the possession. So is your intent here that the individuals would have to have a concealed carry card, in other words, having taken the course? The benefit of that, of course, being the course emphasizes the responsibility of concealed carry and the responsibility when you draw your weapon that you are taking on. Is that addressed here?
It is not. It is not the intention of the bill to require a concealed carry permit. It is required. The only thing we're trying to establish here is that you can carry, and it is up to the legislature to determine what and how you can carry on campus. Through the process, we can get into that discussion further.
So the rifles would still have to be locked in the cars or in the lock boxes because that would not be concealed carry. Questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. So if the university is considered a political subdivision of the state, are there other examples? And one of the things I'm kind of getting at is we have a plaque outside our front door that you can't bring weapons in here in the state capitol. So what's the authority for us to do that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gardner, that is a state law that we are regulating. And this bill, of course, doesn't address that. If we want to talk about allowing concealed carry in the Capitol, that is our purview to do that. Mm-hmm. This bill doesn't envision that.
So there's a statute, sorry, the chair, there's a statute that says we can prohibit people bringing weapons, if they're not law enforcement, into this building.
The state makes those regulations. And all I can say is that we don't, again, it isn't envisioned in this bill to go that far. If we want to do that we can do this a case at a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This just deals with the
interest. Are you contemplating an amendment to allow it to happen, Senator?
No, but I was just wondering if what was good for the goose was good for the gander. I'm kind of wondering about sporting events where people get hot, heavy sometimes. I mean, in parts of Europe, they rampage around their losing team. Introducing firearms there could be kind of a scary thing. Certain kinds of public speakers or conventions might be intrinsically ire-producing.
Okay. Any additional questions for the gentleman in front of us before we go to folks to testify, other testifiers? You'll stand by. Thank you. So I have a couple folks here in Juneau. Is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify that signed up? I don't see you on here, sir.
I'll take the university first.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, we'll go to the university fairly quickly here. So let's go to... Jim Johnson in Fairbanks, University of Alaska Fairbanks President. President Johnson, are you there?
Yes, I am, Senator Dunleavy. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just state your name for the record, President Johnson, and you can begin your testimony.
Thanks very much. Jim Johnson, President, University of Alaska. Well, thanks very much, Senator, and your colleagues there in Juneau for the opportunity to testify on this bill. I've got a few prepared remarks and maybe able to answer some of your detailed questions, but have other folks with more specific knowledge and familiarity with these issues on the line as well, including members of our police departments and our general counsel's office. So if you bear with me a few minutes, I'd like to share some of our thoughts. First, we recognize that this issue is not whether one is for or against guns in the broader community. As I think Senator Kelly pointed out, you have too, this afternoon, firearms are common in Alaska, and that's not the issue here. I would note that university firearms regulations don't extend into the community at large, but only to our campuses. They apply only to situations and people for which the university is uniquely responsible. Senator Kelly mentioned that loco parentis concept. The university must intervene daily, not weekly or monthly, but daily in conflicts and manage how students and employees interact with each other. Whereas municipalities and the state are not so responsible for how people interact on public streets or in public or in private homes. However, the university is responsible for interactions by students as well as by the public or employees with students on our premises across the state. And, of course, as you know well, thousands of students and employees live, eat, work, play, study, on our premises across the state every day. We believe this bill would prevent the university and the Regents in particular from managing specific and known problems. And as a result, we've asked for amendments in five specific areas. One, when behavior indicates a risk of harm to themselves or others. So a student or faculty member, an employee, if there's a risk of some suicidal risk, for example. Two, in student dormitories or other shared student living quarters. Three, in K-12 programs. Our campuses, as all of you know, are very attractive places for summer programs, for K-12 kids. And one of our prime objectives is to strengthen our relationship with K-12 districts across the state. And so we encourage as many young people in our state as possible to participate in activities on our campuses. Four, in health, counseling, discrimination, harassment, and Title IX offices. And finally, in adjudication of staff or student disputes or disciplinary issues. We believe these areas really require regulation. And that regulation in these areas parallels restrictions in criminal law. But it allows us to act before something happens rather than afterward. And with your patience, I'll address each one of these issues one by one. First off, behavior indicating a risk of harm. Under this bill, a student or employee who exhibits depression, suicidal gestures, overt hostility or aggression, everyday occurrences on our campuses, must be allowed his or her weapons. The report to the NRA by the National School Shield Task Force recommends that schools react promptly to behavior that indicates a risk, such as those just mentioned. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for American college students, and thousands more attempt suicide but do not succeed. And Alaska's suicide rate is nearly twice the national average and is the leading cause of death in our state for people ages 15 to 24. Suicide attempts involving firearms are almost always fatal. And though our campuses are safer than the communities that we serve, fortunately, that is the case in part because we actively work these issues. So that's the first point. Second is dormitories and other shared student housing. These are high-density communal living environments there for the convenience of our students. Unlike private landlords, however, we're responsible for their well-being. We serve as the adult, the local parentis, through residence advisors and other staff, monitoring student well-being, resolving disputes among students, and requiring compliance with our rules. Under this bill, our student advisors and our resident assistants would have to deal with students who may or may not be armed and intoxicated, for example. More than half of our resident students are under 21 years old, may not legally carry concealed weapons, and don't necessarily get to choose their roommates. Allowing university regulation would be consistent with existing criminal law age limits on concealed carry, alcohol restrictions on possession of firearms, as well as the requirements for adult resident consent to concealed carry in a residence. It also makes sense. I certainly wouldn't rely on criminal law alone to manage a residential school. Programs for K-12 students, we run year-around, and also especially during the summertime, dedicated programs for K-12 students. Thousands of such students are on our campuses every single day, and that's a good thing. Allowing UA regulation would be consistent with existing state law governing K-12 grounds, buildings, and events. It would also allow UA to meet the standard of care suggested by those laws. Third area, in UA health and counseling services or other services related to sexual harassment or violence, the bill would require the university to allow disgruntled or stressed out parties to bring concealed weapons to investigative or other meetings and the places where victims are seeking services. Allowing us to regulate that would parallel existing state law that makes possession of a firearm on the grounds of a domestic violence shelter a crime. During adjudication of staff or student disputes or disciplinary issues, we routinely adjudicate staff and student disputes as well as disciplinary and academic issues. The bill would currently require the university to allow potentially combative and highly stressed students or employees to carry a concealed weapon to a grievance hearing or to some sort of adjudication proceeding. We believe that allowing the university to regulate that would be more consistent with current state law that makes possession of a firearm in a court facility a crime. So without changes to the bill, UA will be unable to manage these foreseeable, high-conflict, high-risk situations that occur on our campuses daily. In our environment, it's not sufficient, we think, to respond after a crime has been committed. We will, certainly, but we don't believe that's sufficient. I believe you, parents, and our students expect more from us than that. Regulation in these circumstances has value, even if the regulations are not always followed by students or employees. Of course, criminal law doesn't prevent all crimes from occurring. We know that well. And UA's policies allow us to take preventative action when we become aware of a violation that poses a threat of harm and to respond administratively when non-criminal violations occur. I think to close here, the university does not believe this bill is necessary given the restricted environment to which university rules are applicable. Our regulations are in the category of restrictions on weapons in government buildings and schools. Such places have been recognized by the courts and by the Alaska legislature as sensitive places in which regulation of firearms is presumptively lawful and outside the scope of constitutional protection. UA campuses are very similar to circumstances in which Alaska law criminalizes weapons possession. We ask the question, why should a university campus be different? If the bill goes forward, we respectfully request that changes be made to protect the Board of Regents and the university administration to manage these main issues that we've identified and described here briefly this afternoon, and to effectively govern the university consistent with the Board of Regents' constitutional mandate. Mr. Chairman, those are my prepared remarks on this proposed bill.
Thank you, President Johnson. Senator Kelly?
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to rebut anything Mr. Johnson said. Jim, I hope you're doing well. I know you've been having a little tough time. I think that the current blanket denial of constitutional right to carry an arm is something that this bill is trying to address. I think the things that the university has pointed out here, most of them, at least four of the five, I can certainly support. Obviously, this committee makes up its mind what bill will pass this committee, so I don't mean to presume otherwise, but I gladly will work with the university on four of the five things that he recommended. I think they make sense in the same way they're almost intuitive. You don't bring your gun into the courthouse. You don't bring your gun into a bar. You don't bring your gun. There's just places you don't bring your gun, and we get that. And I don't mind those being put into the bill. So I just wanted to make sure we didn't take up too much of the committee's time with some kind of dance between the sponsor and the university when I'm pretty willing to change on a certain number of these issues. It's important, though, that we come out of this legislative session with the Regents not putting a big Second Amendment wet blanket on the entire campuses. And I think the things that he's pointed out here are areas of intuitively intelligent areas to regulate.
Thank you. Senator Stevens?
Could you clarify, Senator Kelly, which of the five you do not agree with?
Well, one of the things that immediately pops out to me is if I'm a parent going to a university function, I want to still be able to protect my child if I have to. That piece of paper that they put up there isn't going to stop the bad guys. We have taken, and I believe we are mistaken, in our past regulation of firearms that we said, oh, you can't have firearms around kids. Well, I got to tell you, I raised some kids. I carried. I had firearms around kids a lot. It was a good thing. We should probably do that. So just because it's a quick K-12 program doesn't scandalize me somehow that we should certainly regulate the firearms. I want to be able to protect my child at a football game, at a soccer game, skiing, whatever the case may be. But I think the other ones are just fine, and we can work with the committee on that. But I just didn't want to take up the committee's time going back and forth with experts arguing over these details, which I think are pretty reasonable, but it's important that we get out of here with having removed that wet blanket that they have put regarding the Second Amendment on their campuses.
So just to kind of managerial for managerial purposes, we have a number of people that want to testify. I'd like to recognize coming up next in just a moment would be State Senator Scott Ogan, who's down here from the Valley, and he won't be here after this day to allow him to come and testify. But for the folks that are here from Juneau in the audience, is there a way, I hate to ask this, but is there a way you can come back on Thursday? Because we have a whole host of people that are calling in from the university up in Fairbanks, Anchorage, so forth, and we're going to have to manage it some way. So it's if there's a way to come, because we're going to be ending up here in about 10 minutes, if there's a way to come back and give your testimony. I was going to ask President Johnson just a quick question.
Me too, if I could.
Senator?
After you.
Well, the question was, Senator, President Johnson, you mentioned a couple classes of students where they were in a certain state of, for lack of a better expression, state of mind or a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Are those students in those classifications currently, are they prohibited from having a gun in the trunk of their car? President Johnson?
Yeah, I hear you, Senator Dunleavy, and I'm thinking about that and don't have a ready answer for you. So I'd prefer to give you an absolutely accurate answer and get that to you later today or tomorrow morning. I apologize for not having it ready at hand.
Thank you. Senator Stevens?
Thank you. Dr. Johnson, thank you for your comments. Just curious if how you see things happening here. If this were to be passed, what would you see the university's response? What would you have to do? Would you see there be more police protection? Do you see more guards? What would be your thoughts there?
Well, thanks, Senator Stevens, for the question. I think certainly need to do that. We've got pretty significant police forces already on our Anchorage and Fairbanks campuses, but I think we probably need to expand there. And then our Southeast campus has no official police force. I'd probably think seriously about adding it there. And I'll just name just three of our 16 campuses across the state, meaning 13 other campuses. And that raises a huge question in my mind. How would we provide additional security at all of those locations? So it does force that question, yes. And at significant cost, needless to say. law enforcement officers, while extremely valuable, are quite expensive.
Senator Garner, then Senator Huggins.
Thank you, and I'll be happy to take this the answer to this question another time or by email or whatever. But when you were talking about UA's ability to manage and known high-risk situations, and at the very end you said something about protecting the board members or the Board of Regents, and I'm not really sure where you were going with that, but I don't want to take up too much time with it right now, but if you could just shoot us an email, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, thank
Senator
you.
Huggins.
And that's Senator Diesel?
This is Gardner, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Senator Gardner.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, President Johnson, Charlie Huggins here. You know, as you know, and you're a bright guy and can do, people like additional security, I mean, all the time we have volunteer firemen, we have volunteer policemen.
I'm sorry, Senator, could you speak up a little bit? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yes, you talk about hiring additional people.
Yes,
sir. My assumption, there's a significant number of people, if they chose to carry a weapon on a university campus, that would qualify into the category of volunteer, so like a volunteer policeman, mm-hmm. a volunteer fireman, and would probably come at very low cost, particularly if you supplied ammunition for them to practice with.
That's just a thought, President Johnson, to ponder.
Point taken, Senator Huggins. I hear you.
And President Johnson, I'm going to ask you to talk with your folks. There's a number of folks that are calling in associated with your administration that we're going to have to take on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Before me, we have Senator Scott Ogan from Lazy Mountain next to Palmer, and I know that Senator Ogan is not going to be here probably after today, so we'd like to take his testimony. And Senator Ogan, if you can make it concise, it'll help with the rest of this testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's great to be here in front of this committee. I wanted to testify in support of the bill. I worked in an office building, the Atwood building, for 10 years after I left this building, and it was a gun-free zone. And there were a number of times where we had lockdowns and situations going on in the building. We knew absolutely nothing about what was happening. And generally, we didn't even have the ability to lock the doors. They would not lock, we couldn't lock them ourselves. So we had two choices. We could, crouch and hide and hope the shooter doesn't see you. Or what I generally did is I kept a fire extinguisher under my desk, and if somebody came in, I would hopefully spray him in the eyes and whack him on the head with a fire extinguisher, because I didn't want to violate the policy and get fired, by carrying a weapon. Personally, I would rather have just kept one under lock and key in my office, but I was a good state employee, and I didn't violate that policy. But I can tell you, it's a very uncomfortable thing to be in a place. And especially, I was honestly the second legislator in the state that got the concealed carry permit. Jeanette James got before me. She was the sponsor of the concealed carry law. And the next year, we both were in the same course, and she got hers before mine. So I just think, if you think of all the places that, all the campuses where there's been these mass shootings, and shooters know they're gun-free zones. And I'm not afraid, honestly. I'm comfortable when I see somebody walking around the valley, or I sit down in McDonald's in Palmer. There's a bunch of old guys that like to have breakfast there. That's one of the, and I usually sit down and say, this is probably the safest place in Palmer, and everybody smiles because everybody's packing. So I encourage you to pass the bill. I don't have a problem with reasonable regulation. I manage people, and I was in disciplinary hearings, and situations with disciplinary things with employees, and it does get very contentious. So there can be some reasonable sidebars, but I think people should have, people don't suspend their Second Amendment rights to attend a school, so I encourage you to move the bill along with reasonable haste and put some reasonable restrictions on it, but it's a good bill.
Thank you. Any questions for Senator Ogan? Thank you for your testimony. So what we're going to do here is we'll go to some, there's some folks physically here in Juneau as well. I hope I get the name correct. Callie Connerton?
She's gone.
Callie's gone. Before I can't pronounce, Lily?
Yes.
How do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is pronounced
Coffee. Okay, please come up. And we're going to try and
be as concise as possible. So if you could once again state your name for the record and the microphone, who you may be associated with, and if you can begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Lily Pothier. I'm associated with Juno and UAS as I'm a student there. And I'm testifying today because I feel that this issue brings up a lot for people on both sides, those who oppose and those who are in favor of it, because it directly affects our sense of the security of our livelihood. So I think that something that hasn't necessarily been addressed yet is the way in which having concealed firearms on campus affects safety in other areas than just mass shootings, which is obviously a huge concern. But there are many other types of violence that are a big problem on college campuses. And, you know, I don't have a lot of relevant statistics on hand, but I think that it's likely that there would be differentials in power that would arise from having concealed weapons on campus. And this could affect relationships between student to student, between staff and students. I also think that the change that happens in the atmosphere of a public space when people are aware that there are concealed weapons is not a positive change. I don't think it's a change that generally causes feelings of safety and well-being. I think that that it's likely to lead to people feeling less comfortable when they know that the students around them could be carrying weapons regardless of, you know, their mental health at the time, regardless of the grade that they just got on a test, regardless of what could be happening in interpersonal relationships between students on campus. So the goal is to increase campus safety, but I don't see allowing concealed weapons on campus as being the most effective way to do that. I think that a more effective way to increase campus safety, specifically pertaining to the likelihood of a mass shooting, is to have armed guards and not to have students carrying concealed weapons.
I appreciate that. So you're on record opposing the bill as it is?
Yes.
Okay. I appreciate that. And does anything you want to wrap up with? Because we're going to try and get we're going to try and squeeze in a couple more people here before we have to end it for today.
I think there should be a registry of people with guns on campus. I think that the individuals carrying concealed weapons on campus should go through a screening process to ascertain their psychological well-being and other such relevant elements.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is there a this is for so we have is there a Zena Peterson? Please come forward, state your name for the record. And again, if you can, we're going to try and get one more in after you, and we'll try and limit it here to 2 or 3 minutes, and that way we'll ask the other folks that are online if they can call in on Thursday. Please state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Zena Peterson. I am from Anchorage. I am a University of Alaska Anchorage student. As a student at UAA, I feel strongly that by allowing students or other people to carry guns, concealed guns on campus, it increases the risk of injury or even worse, death. As someone who has lived personally on campus, I know that minors abuse alcohol. I know that older students abuse alcohol. And so when these types of like alcohol is being consumed, for students who are living specifically on campus, and then focusing on that part, because I think it could be dangerous for them to be around people who are carrying guns, who might be drinking, and the area in which people live in is so tight that if for any reason that the police officers can't get to them on time, because if there's an accidental shooting, it's just, I have personally walked the campuses, and I feel like it could be dangerous for people to get lost or just I'm looking at it in perspective of how I have walked the campus and have seen people So basically what I'm saying is that for those people who are living on campus, I think that there could be a lot of dangerous effects of having concealed weapons by other students who, if they haven't been trained well enough or they haven't been screened by the university. The people who should be carrying guns are the police. They're the ones who we trust. They're the ones who are trained on this. So please, I oppose Senate Bill 174, and I'm asking you as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I think we have one more person here we'll take today that should be in the audience. Is there Samantha? Please come forward, state your name for the record. And the other folks, I apologize. Obviously, this is a bill that's going to garner a lot of attention and input. And so, folks that we have not gotten to today, this is going to be our last testify for the day. And on Thursday at 3:30, we'll be hearing this bill again. Public testimony will stay open. And for those folks that didn't have an opportunity, that will be an opportunity for the duration of that particular meeting. So, Samantha, can you state your name for the record and then begin your testimony?
All right, thank you. My name is Samantha Savage, and I'm from North Pole, Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I have lived in the Fairbanks area and have attended UIF for the past 4 years. As was mentioned earlier in this meeting, suicide is the second leading cause of death among college students and is a major crisis here in Alaska. Many studies have shown that access to firearms and alcohol are risk factors for suicides. And since I have been a student at UAF, there's been a suicide every year on campus. Many of them have been related to firearms. And that is why I urge you all to oppose Senate Bill 174 and support the university's efforts to protect their students. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your patience. So, folks, with that, we're going to conclude today's meeting. Public testimony is open. We'll pick it up again on Thursday, and folks will have an opportunity to tell us what they think about the bill. So with that, we're going to adjourn for today. And again, I thank you very much.